gentlemen, welcome to Armbar! Sorry for us missing last week. No excuses, we just kind of forgot to record the show. So, our bad. It happens. Also, quick note. Any of you all know how if a download of an app to your iPhone gets screwed up to fix it, let us know in the comments, because I'm having a problem downloading Sonic CD.
Yeah, I forgot how to
It's angering me. But anyways, big week. We had Hell in a Cell.
Yes.
We had Raw.
Well, yes,
we did. We had SmackDown.
Yes, we did.
And, well, that's it.
Yeah, well, unless you watch some of those other shows. We don't.
No. Well, when we watch NXT, it's just NXT isn't on for another hour and we're recording the show now.
Plus, you know, what they show of New Japan on Access is re-recorded. Not pre-recorded, re-recorded.
Exactly. So, why don't we kick things off with Hell in a Cell? I figure really the only big things that went down were the three-man events. We have a new Cruiserweight champion.
Yes. I was a little surprised at that, but...
Not me. And the New Day healing it up to get disqualified to win.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So that was interesting. But let's start with the U.S. title match, Rusev and Roman Reigns. That was actually a really good match. Might have been my favorite match of the night.
I can't say that, but you did miss a good chunk of the last one.
Yeah, I went to sleep. I was tired. I've been tired all week.
Yeah.
So, they've actually gotten me to care about this feud, and I really feel that Roman Reigns should be chasing Rusev and not vice versa.
I think it would make a little bit more sense. It would probably get the audience behind Reigns a little bit better, but then again, I don't know what can really get the audience behind Reigns right now.
Well, there was a big pop for him at the end of Raw, but we'll get to that.
Alrighty.
So, it was a really good match, really good storytelling. And it doesn't matter what the results were. The man who won that match was the man who was slapping a guy in the camel clutch on steel stairs with a chain.
That was pretty extreme. It's nice when the WWE pulls out something that I haven't seen before. They don't do it quite as often as they probably should, but, you know, it's kind of hard to stay at that level at times.
Well, you got to save that for pay-per-view, too.
Exactly.
One thing I definitely agree with Jim Cornette and Jim Ross on is that when they do a lot of these high spots on Raw and SmackDown,
it takes away from the
they're not as special when I see it in a pay-per-view.
Oh, definitely.
Like, if I see Charlotte do a moonsault to the outside of the ring, taking out Sasha in a Raw match, I've seen it. It's not as cool if I see it at the pay-per-view.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. So, but that match was pretty awesome. They didn't make it outside the cage, did they? They stayed in the cage.
They stayed inside the cage, yeah.
But it was still pretty brutal, in spite of the cage being thinner now.
Yeah, which, how many matches did it take us to figure out what was up with that? Was it like two?
No, we figured out it was thinner in the Reigns match. Mm-hmm. We were trying to come up with reasons why.
Okay.
Because you were saying it was taller, and I was like, no, it's definitely thinner. And we kind of came to the agreement that it looks taller because it's thinner.
Yeah.
So, that was a spectacular match. We'll move on to the second Hell in a Cell match, which was Jericho. I'm sorry. Was Owens with the assist from Chris Jericho.
Locking himself into the cage.
That was brilliant.
That was brilliant.
Just Jericho ran down while the cage was open, locked the cage, and it was him, the ref.
swing that key around.
That was fantastic. And that was a fantastic match, too.
Hmm.
With more technical wrestling than the Roman Reigns.
Well, the Roman
Rusev match. Yeah. What I liked most about the Roman Reigns-Rusev match was the brutality in that match.
Yeah, that wasn't going to be a technical type of match. I knew that going in.
All right, but still... We need to address, though, going back to the Roman Reigns match, because I just remember this. We need to address the man wearing a padded vest. Those kendo stick shots ain't going to do shit to him.
Yeah. Who thought of that spot? They weren't thinking.
I know. That's something you'd say a heel do. That's a D'Lo Brown move.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want Roman Reigns to be D'Lo Brown?
He already is. Mm. At least to me.
Did he cripple somebody?
he crippled his career.
Mm. I think Vince did that.
Oh, yeah, true enough. He's D'Lo Brown. The audience can't see you do that.
I know. I forgot this isn't video.
But it works just the same when someone points it out.
It is. But anyways, back to the second main event, which I know they're trying to get historically with the women main eventing. I don't know. I still feel your top belt needs to go on last.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Now, granted, the women brought it.
Yeah,
the women really did bring it. But no, dog, I'm not playing fetch. Go lay down. Go lay down. They did bring it, but again, I always feel that your top belt needs to go on last. Otherwise, you're discounting it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I see what they were trying to do. I guess it's for us mainly, at least for me mainly, it was very jarring. But you know, I got over it because there's nothing I could really do to change.
Oh no, it doesn't bug me. But like I said, top belt always needs to go on last.
No, yeah,
kind of thing. Just like the last SmackDown Raw co-pay-per-view SummerSlam, we had the Universal title go on last, and the WWE title was like mid-card.
Dude, I'm kind of... Okay, just keep talking, man.
I don't want noise. But, yeah, so it's one of those things like... And having the WWE Universal title mid-card... I know you have to have, like, a downer match between, you know, two big matches.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you need to mid-card the WWE title. Like, maybe not go on right before the women's title.
But have, like, a cool-off
match. Have only, like, one match in between them. But Seth Rollins fell to Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho because it became a handicap match.
Mm-hmm.
But without Jericho, though, Owens kind of dominated that match for the most part. He was going after Seth's back. And what I love to see, rip that tape, the tape off Seth's back. Yeah. That was freaking hilarious. Because I've always wondered about that. When the people are wearing the tapes, like, go after the tape.
Yeah.
No one goes after Cesaro's tape, but Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is a classic heel. He does classic heelish things. That's what I love about him.
That's what makes him endearing for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. But that match was fun. The powerbomb through the two tables was a great spot.
It was.
The fire extinguisher, great spot. Again, we didn't leave the cage. We had someone come in the cage. We didn't leave the cage.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was any blood in this one. There was a little bit of blood in the Roman Reigns ones because Roman got his arm cut.
Was it Roman or was it Rusev?
It was Roman.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember pointing out
something. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Damn, that's a laceration.
Yeah, you're right. Because I got confused because I remember seeing blood on Rusev's arm on the back of his arm.
Which was probably Roman's blood.
Probably. Which, that's kind of gross, but... What can you do?
Well, when you're in a combat sport... You're going to get other people's blood on
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
So. It is what it is, but...
But yeah, that was a pretty solid match. Yeah, I mean, like you said, like there was great chemistry with Jericho and
yeah, because I thought we were going to see the demise of Y2KO.
But yeah.
But apparently not. Not yet, at least.
At least not until after...
Survivor Series.
Yeah. Which, I could see the breakdown happening if Raw loses. Or just if Kevin Owens... if Jericho gets eliminated before Owens. I think that could happen.
Or you pull a Bret Hart, Owen Hart, have one of them on the side.
Yeah.
And the other one runs into him.
Mm.
Knocking him off, causing the other to get rolled up and pinned and eliminated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could do it that way.
I think that was one of my all-time favorite tag team breaks. It was Owen and Bret. It was a misunderstanding that just went too far.
Yeah.
Which got the entire Hart family involved.
For all of, like, 5 minutes. Because, you know, Bruce and the other Hart, other two Harts, the other Hart, they weren't around anymore after...
No, they had pretty much retired, though, because I believe Bret and Owen are the two youngest of the boys.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to Hell in the Cell. And we'll touch on your boy TJ Perkins being the most white bread baby face of them all, falling for that injury and losing. I can't get behind TJ Perkins.
It's hard for me. It's hard for me now.
He is. I don't know. I don't know if it's the writers. I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's a combination of them both, but
I feel like it's a combination of both.
I don't like hearing him talk.
Mm. Yeah, he's got. He doesn't have much of a personality.
No, he does not.
And that kills me.
Where the Brian Kendrick does.
Yeah.
That's the perfect heel.
I'd always been a fan of Brian Kendrick. And, you know, I want to like TJ Perkins. You know, call me a mark for Filipinos. But, you know, I try to give them a chance until I can't give them any more chances. Like Batista. Don't particularly care for him as a wrestler. As Drax, I'm just fine with. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, TJ, I don't know if he needs to take some acting classes. Maybe the writers need to stop writing for him. Maybe he's one of those guys who does better off the cuff. I don't know.
Well, see, that's the problem with a lot of these indie guys. Especially the ones who don't come up through NXT. Mm-hmm. They don't really cut promos in the indies for the most part. Like, Ring of Honor does a little bit. But a lot of the indie circuits, it's just wrestling. Which is great, because I like to see good wrestling.
Yeah.
But there's an element of storytelling to wrestling. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to tell a story, a believable story.
Yeah.
And a lot of these indie guys just are incapable of it. And maybe TJ Perkins would benefit from dropping down to NXT and learning the ways. Because, like, a guy like Finn Balor.
Yeah.
He said he said in that that Finn Balor thing that WWE did. I can't remember what that series is called.
I think it was 24.
24?
Yeah.
He said that he would never have made it if he just went straight from New Japan to Raw.
Mm.
Because he had to learn,
how to
face
the
camera, yeah, how to cut a promo, and all that other stuff. And a lot of those guys, too, have kind of said similar things that have come up through the NXT.
Yeah.
That they had to learn how to be a WWE wrestler because it's a little bit different.
Definitely.
I mean, you can just ask some of the WCW guys who came over during the Monday Night Wars. That was a completely different beast.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, shoot.
Which actually
reminds me. Buck Bagwell didn't even survive the first night.
Yeah, which actually reminds me. I was listening to an interview with Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair, and the guy doing the interview asked Shawn why he never went down to WCW. And he was just saying part of it was he was loyal to Vince. Part of it was the injury. It was never really about money for him, for the most part. And Ric Flair chimed in. And Shawn also said, like, they wouldn't, when I actually thought about it, Vince was like, you'll hate it down there because they won't let you be you. And then Ric Flair chimed in. He's like, yeah, Shawn, you would absolutely hate it.
Mm.
He was like, because there was no place for you down there.
Oh, yeah, that'd been so weird trying to shoehorn Shawn Michaels in there.
Yeah, because who would he have fought off with? So I don't think there's any way you get him and Brett at that time working together.
No.
Sting's in a program against Hogan.
Yeah.
Hall and Nash are doing tag team things. Flair, you know, wouldn't be
there fighting. Oh, my God. You know what? He would have been relegated to, like, B-level NWO.
Yeah.
It'd be like him, terrible. Stevie Ray.
Yeah.
Vincent. And whoever else was left. Oh, that would have been terrible.
Yeah, that would have killed Shawn Michaels. And plus, like, Shawn, I don't think he meant to. He was kind of bad-mouthing Starrcade. He's like, what was their big pay-per-view, Starrcade? He's like, yeah, it's just not on the scale of WrestleMania. And, like, Vince would always let me kind of call the spots and let me, you know, do my own thing where they wouldn't let me do that. He's like, there's no way.
Mm.
Yeah, Flair just emphasized, like, yeah, you would have just hated it down there.
Yeah, and you know what? Who's to say that he wouldn't have been injured along with, if not instead of Brett, by Goldberg. I mean, it might not have gone that way if he went down there anyway, but, you know, who's to say it wouldn't?
Oh. It's always hard to say with WCW.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't seem they, like, planned anything out.
Not if it didn't deal with the NWO.
Like, really, the only thing I feel that they ever planned out was the Sting thing.
Yeah.
That's bad, because I think Hogan being the third member of the NWO wasn't the initial plan. I can't remember who it was supposed to be. I think it was supposed to be Sting initially. Yeah. And it was just kind of like, They switched it at the last second to be Hogan because Hogan wanted to do it.
No, it was Sting was the backup plan. If Hogan didn't want to do it,
oh okay,
yeah, because they were trying to do it with Hogan, because the way they said it was, it only would have worked two different ways. If Hogan did it, or if you got the franchise, which was Sting.
You know, I have to wonder though, since they kept talking about a third guy, as if that third guy was always supposed to be Shawn Michaels, with the talk of him not going down there.
I never thought of that, just because he was the champion at the time.
That has never stopped people from leaving before.
True enough.
So, but anyways, back to Hell in a Cell. We got too sidetracked. I just remembered something. So, Sasha Banks and Charlotte tore the house down. However, two things bugged me about the outcome of this match. I don't like this streak that Charlotte has of never losing a pay-per-view.
I didn't like the actual finish.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But also, and I really hope they're not doing this because I feel that this will devalue the women's title very quickly. If they're trying to, like, hurry her to her dad's record.
I actually read a rumor about this today, about the finish.
All right.
Apparently, at the last minute, Vince had changed it. Because originally it was supposed to be Sasha going up. And at the last minute, I envisioned him at gorilla position just being like, let's go with Charlotte. And the rumor is because they want to get Bayley into the title hunt faster. Because apparently she's selling better than Sasha, according to this rumor. It's unconfirmed as far as I'm concerned.
I'm gonna go with that's unsubstantiated only because had we done the show last week and we did our picks, I'd have picked Charlotte because I feel they're gonna milk this pay-per-view streak to like WrestleMania.
Mm.
So, and the second she lost the belt to Sasha again on Raw, I knew the next pay-per-view she was going to win it back.
Hmm.
So I don't think it was a last-minute change by Vince. I think that was always the plan.
Okay.
Because if Sasha was going to go over at the pay-per-view, why have her win the belt on Raw like 2 weeks sooner?
Yeah, that's...
That doesn't make any sense. So I think the whole point was to have her go over.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But that's gonna wrap it up for the Hell in a Cell coverage. We didn't do every match because that was a very lackluster pay-per-view.
Not every match mattered. Honestly, the only matches that mattered to me were the Hell in a Cell.
The three Hell in a Cell matches. Those were it. I mean,
yeah.
Enzo and Cash versus Anderson and
Gallows.
I don't even remember who won.
Gallows and Anderson.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's right. They hit the magic killer on
yeah,
Enzo.
It took me a minute. Yeah. That night I watched Raw, so. Yeah, so it would, they kind of reference that.
So moving on to Raw, a special spooky edition of Raw, which I missed the opening to because I was out trick-or-treating with my little man. By the way, check out our Instagram. We'll post some pictures from it where I was Daniel Bryan as a last-second Halloween thing. And mostly because I have the long hair and the beard and the IC title and the Yes shirt. So it
and you couldn't find a suitable sweater for
people to basket. Be the dude.
Yep.
Which reminds me, so my holiday party for my company this year, costume party. I'm going as the dude. I'm just drinking white Russians all night. So be prepared. Be prepared to get that call from me, Nelson. I need you to pick me up from the metro station. But so Raw. It was the Raw after the pay per view, which are always usually good. I think the best part was Rusev coming out to confront Goldberg, which I hope is a down the road match. Like I hope Goldberg's back for more than one match.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Because I came in like right at the end of that, like right before Rusev got, I'm going to call it a suplex because he didn't hold him up long enough for a jackhammer. Because he more or less suplexed him and then gently speared Paul Heyman.
Yeah, it was so gentle.
Yeah.
It was like a pillow slap.
So I hope, because I think Rusev needs to be the top heel on Raw. I don't think there's any, not necessarily top heel as far as going over Kevin Owens, but
he needs to be the next big heel.
Yeah, because he's got more personality than Braun Strowman. He's just as devastating as Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Well, Braun Strowman's still really green. I like Braun Strowman because he definitely takes everything in and he's doing his best to evolve. And I could see that he's putting in work.
Mm-hmm.
At least for the character development. We don't get to see much in his matches because they're all squash matches.
Yep. And also, Rusev has beaten John Cena on multiple occasions.
This is very true, though.
KO only did it once.
Did he only do it once?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm pretty sure just that opening night on Raw.
Thought he won at one of the pay-per-view matches.
Maybe. We'd have to go back and look at it.
Yeah. Oh.
But speaking of Braun Strowman, he won the Battle Royal to get that to be in part of the Survivor Series team. Though they did make us think for a second there, it looked like Sami Zayn was going to get that fat man over the
rope. I know. That was...
I think everybody was rooting for that.
Bastards were tugging at my heartstrings there.
I know, right?
Yeah, so... I mean... I don't know how you would really keep that feud going with Sami Zayn. Well, no, I guess you could keep it going if he made it into the Survivor Series match. But what I want to know is, they only announced 4 wrestlers as far as I could tell. Who the hell is the 5th man?
Isn't it Jericho? It's Jericho, Owens, Roman Rollins, Reigns, and Strowman.
So did they 5. Say Rollins?
Yeah, Rollins is in it.
Because I only heard Reigns.
So. I'm like 99.9%.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just, I only heard that, so that's probably why I'm
confused. I mean, that was the whole opening. That was the whole thing that was about, was with the 4 of them in the ring.
Okay. That's what was confusing to me, because I thought they'd only named off 4. I didn't hear them say Rollins. So.
You probably heard Rollins, Reigns, and... in your head heard Roman Reigns.
Maybe. It's a possibility.
That's what I think happened. That's what I'm going with. And then your boy TJ tried to get all hardcore on the Brian Kendrick at the end of their rubber match.
Ugh. Yeah. So, TJ, you need to go to NXT.
So you've given up on him now.
It's so hard. I want to like him, but dang it, man. You're not giving me much to work with, so. That and plus, the cruiserweight division.
I don't know if you have to tell stories of that, but Rich Swann is quickly becoming the top babyface.
Oh, yeah.
He might be eclipsing your boy TJ Perkins.
Yeah, I mean, Rich Swann is definitely more charismatic. He definitely has a lot more charisma than TJ. That and I keep seeing him do dances that make me think of the Junkyard Dog.
It's a strut.
Yeah, that's what it is. But he's a fantastic worker. He's pretty high-flying, which, in all honesty, it's weird to me because the Cruiserweight division is just not as exciting as it was in WCW.
Well, I heard Vince doesn't like all the high-flying moves.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Because, I mean, the Cruiserweights have never really prospered in the WWE anyway. You don't really have anyone as high-flying as anybody from the Cruiserweight division of WCW. Even Rey Mysterio was kind of watered down when he was in the WWE.
You know, part of me kind of wants Jericho to drop down to the Cruiserweight division just for, like, a month period. Just let him dominate that and then hop back up. I think that'd be hilarious.
Take the Cruiserweight title.
Yep. And just hold on to it. Like, gain weight back and be like, oh, I'm too heavy now. It's my belt. And just, it'd be kind of funny.
That would be pretty funny.
Then we had Nia Jax return. I don't know where she's been. She's been gone for a while.
Yeah.
I'd actually forgotten she was on the roster.
Yeah.
And she beat Bayley. But they're building Bayley up as an underdog, which is what worked for Bayley in NXT and what got her so over. And that's kind of like the same thing, kind of like with Shawn Michaels, what got him so over with the fans and Bret Hart was that underdog. Like the smaller kind of thing. And then we had Roman Reigns defeat Jericho via disqualification, which was BS. But, Jericho lost that match. And then we had Jericho and Owens trying to team up on Reigns and Rollins came out to help, and we had a Shield moment.
Yeah, it was cool in kind of, it was kind of odd to me at the same time. Just because, you know, you haven't seen those two on the same side in a very long time. So it's a little, it was different to see that again.
Yeah.
And for the first time in a while, all three members of the Shield are actually faces, too.
Yeah.
You haven't had that in, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
At least two.
Yeah. So, that was, it was cool to see. Yeah. So, moving on.
Moving on to the down of Smack Live.
If I could find the shows.
Hopefully this is the last we see of No Chin. What's his name?
James Ellsworth.
Yeah, I don't care. I really don't. Like, this running gag of him ran its course. Just like I didn't care about Goldberg. It's just, oh, I don't care. Let's hit on some of the main points. My favorite part of this was after Ziggler defeated Curt Hawkins in the open challenge. And way to debut there, Curt Hawkins, you piece of trash. I don't like you. he extended the open challenge to anybody from Raw as well.
Yeah.
Which scares me because I see Raw wanting to steal that belt because it's better than the U.S. title. And I think, and no matter what they do, like what they try to do with that U.S. title, especially with Cena, the IC title, I feel with fans, will always be a bigger deal.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, yeah.
I mean, especially among WWE fans.
Yeah, it's more important.
Like, if you grew up watching WCW, you'd be like, oh, Sting won it, Ric Flair won it. But let's face it, if you're a WWE fan, you're like,
yeah.
Macho Man had it, Perfect, Bret, Shawn, Razor, Diesel,
Booker T.
Piper. I don't know if Booker ever won the Intercontinental.
Because I know he, he had the TV title, didn't he? Or did he have the U.S.?
Are you talking about in WCW?
In WCW. Was it the U.S.?
I think he had the TV title and the U.S. title.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. Because you came over as both the U.S. and the TV champ.
So, I'm afraid Raw might try to steal that belt since they don't have the WWE title.
They very well could, but who knows? Oh, well, not that it's a consolation, but they might try to switch it with the U.S. title or something.
I don't want that at all. I want the IC title to be on SmackDown because that's my favorite show now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, until Finn Balor gets back. I think I'll care more about Raw once Finn Balor's back.
That would be helpful.
Because I liked them both, and the tide really shifted to SmackDown once Finn Balor got hurt.
Oh, yeah. The night after he won, he had to give it up. That was quite upsetting, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I fear for his momentum when he comes back. I mean, he's still over with.
He's winning the Rumble. I'm calling it right now.
Hopefully.
And by the way, I just want to mention my long term prediction on the New Day has been right. I said they would hold the titles until at least Survivor Series. And that is coming true, baby.
Yeah, they have. And now, how close are they to the actual record?
I think by Survivor Series, they would have broken it. I don't know, though. I haven't been keeping track. Because I want to say, I think the record's at like 420, somewhere around there. And I think
they just hit 420.
Yeah, it's like 4-something. I don't know if they've got the record yet. So, I think by the time we get to Survivor Series, they'll be right around the record.
That'd be good. I mean, I see what they're doing there. They're breaking all the records, the previous record holders. Like, they already passed Kendrick and London, if I remember hearing that correctly. And I guess they're closing in on Demolition.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the thing. I think they want to set some new records up, especially with guys
who are suing the WWE.
Not necessarily suing the WWE, but aren't as memorable. Like, I'm sure if the Road Warriors held that record.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Hart Foundation. I don't think they'd be eager to break it.
True.
Let's face it, if they were just eager to break all records, Cena would have broken Flair's record by now.
Also very true.
So I think it's just records of people that are no longer, like, in their good graces or that the fans just don't know or care about.
Mm.
So let's face it, the WWE cast Demolition aside as soon as they got the Road Warriors, because the Demolition was their version of the Road Warriors. So it's more or less like breaking records. Like, I don't think anybody's going to touch Honky Tonk Man's record anytime soon for the IC title reign.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a long reign, too. I got to look that up. But it's...
The only one that came close was Santino.
Oh, really?
He came within a few days. Hmm. And then I believe they stopped that.
And then, of course, no one's going to touch Bruno Sammartino's record.
And who holds a title that long anymore?
I know. I mean, what was it? 7 years is how long he held
something
the title
like
for.
That.
So, yeah, that ain't getting broken ever.
Nope. Or Moolah. Well, I don't think they'll ever get Moolah's, but that title technically isn't in play anymore.
No, that title doesn't count anymore. It's a completely new title.
Yeah.
Just like the Universal title is different from the WWE title or the heavyweight title, anything like that.
Yeah.
But going back to SmackDown, Alexa Bliss and Carmella cut a nice little Mean Girls promo, which was entertaining. And I'm sorry, Becky, you've been replaced by Alexa. Alexa Bliss is my new favorite women's wrestler, just by far. At least on SmackDown. I don't know if I can dislike Bayley.
It's hard to dislike her.
But Alexa Bliss cracks me up, and she's the perfect heel. I think she's what the WWE wanted the Bellas to be.
Probably.
Because she's this, I'm better than you, I'm prettier than you, but she can also wrestle. Which the Bellas, bless their hearts, they tried. Could never really wrestle.
One is better than the other, that's all we can really say.
Yep, but as AJ Lee pointed out, wrestling is not a sexually transmitted disease.
That's very true.
But we do have our SmackDown team starting to form. Who is on the SmackDown team?
I believe... I think it's all the top-tier guys. AJ Styles, I believe, is on there.
No,
AJ
and Dean are having a match.
That's right. I forgot. So... Actually, the only people I can name are the Usos on the tag team one. Think about it.
Yeah. Well, didn't America... Yeah, and America Alpha, too.
Oh, American Alpha's on there, too?
Yeah, because they beat the Spirit Squad.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
So, does that...
We'll have to look that up for the next
podcast.
Yeah,
we definitely do, because
I don't feel like doing it right now.
I can't think of it, because I thought Rhino and Slater were on there, too, but then that gives them six.
Yep.
So, we'll have to look that up. Sorry about that.
It's not a big deal, but then James Ellsworth, I hope this is his last time on SmackDown. Is Ellsworth in jeopardy after costing Ambrose a title opportunity? Jeez.
No, because they...
yeah.
They gave him another opportunity.
Yeah, but Randy Orton defeating Kane was pretty cool. Though, I heard this on the Steven Larson Going in Raw podcast. What if Orton is trying to not necessarily join the Wyatts, but create a rift in the Wyatts by trying to become Bray's number one guy, replacing Luke Harper, and Luke Harper gets jealous? What if he's just trying to do that from the inside, break him up?
Well, I was thinking it might be a ploy of some sort. I never said exactly what kind of play, because I didn't know what it could be. But that seems feasible to me.
Yeah, my only problem with this turn for Randy, I think it would have been better if it was like at a pay-per-view match.
Yeah, because it kind of seems like out of left field a little bit.
Okay, Daniel Bryan announced the team. So who did he say was on the team?
Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose, Baron Corbin, and AJ Styles.
Oh, okay, so I guess AJ and Dean will face off for the title at a different pay-per-view, maybe at TLC.
Maybe.
Because
that would make for an interesting dynamic, having a challenger and the champion on the same team having to work together. I mean, they do that a lot for just regular tag teams. Why not a Survivor Series tag team?
Yeah. And like we said, Dolph Ziggler beat Curt Hawkins. God. Curt Hawkins is so terrible.
I looked down because we were playing Gears at the same time.
Yeah.
And I looked up, and the match was over. And then he announced the
which I'm glad, because that just means they're bringing Curt Hawkins in as a joke. Which was my worry when I found out Curt Hawkins was coming back. I was like, tell me they're going to do more with Curt Hawkins. It doesn't look like they're doing. But the SmackDown guys are off to Dubai right now. Or Saudi Arabia, one of the two. Because I saw a bunch of tweets out from Zack Ryder.
Is that a tribute to the troops, or are they just going over
there? They're just going over there. Because they do, in our allied countries over in the Middle East, they do shows over there and stuff like that, because wrestling's pretty big over there.
Yeah, gotcha.
So
I heard it's actually getting, wrestling's getting bigger in the UK recently.
It's always been big in the UK.
But I heard it's been getting bigger. Like, there are more indies popping up in there that they might start making good, like, better money over there. But, you know, I don't know those. This is the first I've heard of it.
Well, so there's definitely been more indie promotions pop up, but wrestling's always been huge in the UK and Ireland and Scotland. So the phrasing, I guess, that you heard was a bit off, because it's always been huge.
Well, I guess, the phrasing, I think, was more involved with the indie circuit.
I guess, yeah, because I was like, the UK might not, wrestling might not be as big in the UK as it is in, say, like, the US, Mexico, Canada, Japan.
Mm.
But I say next to those four countries, the UK is probably easily number five.
Yeah.
Because it's big over there, but again, not being over there, I can't gauge it. Just
I don't have a frame of reference.
It's just from what I know about Japanese wrestling and Mexican wrestling, Canadian wrestling, mostly through, like, the books written by Bret Hart and Chris Jericho and Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
I know how those promotions go and how popular they are.
Yeah.
But I know Britain's pretty big. I mean, all you got to do, I mean, just to gauge the popularity and how long it's been popular is just look at SummerSlam when Bulldog beat Brett for the Intercontinental title. Wembley Stadium was sold out, and that's still one of the biggest pops I've ever heard for a win. So.
Yeah, okay.
So, on that note, keep it up, Britain. Keep making us proud. And maybe we'll come do a podcast over there, like our good friends at What Culture come over to the U.S. from time to time. But there's got to be a good reason for us to go over there. Maybe What Culture, you invite us to your next WCPW event.
Yeah, maybe they could do that.
I'll take on both Adam Pasciti and Adam Blonde in a handicap match. Issuing the challenge, boys. Let's see if you answer.
Goodness.
And on that note, instead of good night, Canada, good night, UK.